In the first service, Don got up and he said, "I met Bill at the Y. He was stronger than me and better looking than me. My, how things have changed." Sorry, I couldn't resist that. He still wasn't right. So, it's good to have you with us today. If you have been with us over the past year, we've gone through a study called Everyday Gospel Devotional. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody by saying how many of you stuck with it. I hope that some of you have. I hope that some of you at least stuck with the reading, the daily reading of the Gospel Devotional. Reading through the Scripture was hard. But if it got something inside you that said, "I want to try this on my own, at my own speed," then it will have accomplished its purpose. So we're going to wrap everything up today. So if you have a Bible, if you'd like to turn to 2 Peter, we'll be from 2 Peter to Revelation 22 this morning. Next year, or next week, actually, when I say next year, I guess it is next year, I'll start a new theme for the year called Still the One. And you can see it's from Revelation chapter 5, verse 13 is the focus verse. Next week's sermon is kind of like an open door for the rest of the year. I'll just be talking about what I mean by still the one. And then I know through January and February, we'll be looking at the seven I am statements of Jesus, as well as the seven miracles that were also in John, and combine them together. And then been working on March. We'll be looking at Christ as we lead up to the resurrection, and then after that, we'll be in the book of James. So, just want to let you know, kind of like where we are. Hopefully, by next Sunday, I'll be able to give you a little bit better idea as to where else we'll be next year. But if you would please read ahead, the scripture is in a bulletin as to what next week's sermon is. It's John 1:1-14 or 15, and then or 1-15, and then John 6, and also Hebrews chapter 1. So if you would read that, I would appreciate it. Well, let's pray and get started. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As we've gone through this past year, hopefully it has shown us that your word never returns void. That even the little that we may have read, we will remember. And that the lessons that were there, we will remember. Because you have promised us, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when your seed is planted, when your word is planted, it will never, never return empty. And so, Lord, help us as we study today to see that, especially as we go through Peter and all the way to Revelation. Would you please open your word up to us and help us to understand? Help us to grasp the truth that's here. And then, Lord, I pray that as I bring the message today, that you'll help us to focus on Jesus and lift him up and honor him, for he deserves to be glorified and to be praised. And I ask this in his name. Amen. So we've covered a lot of ground in 2025. Let me kind of recap a little for you. We started in Genesis chapter 1, and we made our way through the Old Testament. Along the way, we renewed acquaintances with some very familiar people whom we know their names. And at the same time, we met new ones that maybe we have never heard of before. We read about Job's struggles with his friends and with his own life. Then we read about the highs and the lows in the book of Psalms. We read about all the lessons from the book of Proverbs, and then we struggled our way through the major and minor prophets as we walked our way through some of the very unfamiliar writings and unfamiliar ways of saying things. But then finally, the last week of September, we hit the New Testament, and we started studying about Jesus, and then we worked our way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as we talked about who Jesus was and what he did. Then we made our way into the book of Acts, and we talked about the early church. And then we went into Romans, and we talked about justification. Then we spent some time with Paul and James and the writer of Hebrews as we walked all the way even up to Peter, as we ended up with 1 Peter chapter 1 last week. So today, I want to finish out. And whenever we come to the end of any project, what's the question we normally ask? What's next? What's next? Well, I've already told you what's next year, but I want to ask you what's next now. What do we do? How do we answer that question? What will we do to finish out this year and prepare ourselves for the next year? Well, Peter, through Revelation, gives us three essentials as to how we can prepare ourselves for the new year. Now, what I've done is I've taken the word grow, and because I believe that it is a constant ongoing process, I've added an ing to it. So we are growing in three things. And I want to share those three things, those three essentials with you. First of all, is we are growing in faith. 2 Peter, if you don't already know this, 2 Peter along with Jude is sometimes viewed as the dark corner of the New Testament. It is, as a result of that, it's not often preached on, it's not studied, it's not discussed, it's not quoted, and most people skip over it. But if you read 2 Peter, you will find out that if anything else, Peter is absolutely relevant today. You will go through there, and with the rapid advance of mass media, you couple that with the church's lack of discernment on error, and we have allowed doctrinal error to kind of spread like wildfire. We have had false teachers flood the TV, the internet, the radio, books and magazines with their garbage and their deceitful lies, and they have infiltrated the church. Excuse me. And the way to halt that forward progress is by being prepared, by knowing what you believe and why you believe it. And so Peter gives us three ways that that can happen, how we can prepare. Number one, his first solution is that we know Christ, or that we become like Christ. In verse 3 of 2 Peter, if you would look at that, please, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received all this, and here's the key, by coming to know him. Now, there's a Greek word that's used here, and I don't expect you to know it. I barely know it. It's called gnosko. It's also used in Philippians chapter 3. That word literally means to know intimately. So what Peter is telling us here is there is a difference between knowing about something and knowing someone. There's a difference about, for example, you knowing about Joe, my wife, and me knowing her, because there's an intimacy that has developed between us. And what he's talking about here is there is a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. So that's your first answer or first key, or first solution as to what we need to do. The second one is to keep expanding. Now, if you look at verse 8 of the same chapter, he says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. And then he says, supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. There's another translation that says this, you should strain every nerve to supplement your faith. I like that. That is basically telling me that I need to do everything I can to put these qualities into practice. And we're not going to go through these qualities because they are a sermon in themselves. But he says we need to pursue this. We need to strain for these qualities in our lives. And then the desired outcome is verse 8. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we grow, as we know, we become more productive. But then there's a third solution, and that is to pay attention to the scripture. That's verses 12 through 20. Growth will never come without paying careful attention to the Scripture. Paying close attention to the Scripture requires study. It requires time. It requires you sitting down and spending time and opening yourself up to listen to what God's Word is saying. I said earlier in my prayer that God's Word never returns void. Whatever you've done over the past year reading-wise, and you've read God's Word, it will not return void. Somewhere along the line, you may remember what you read. Somewhere along the line, you may say, oh yeah, that applies right there. And so we need to pay attention to the Scripture. Now, the rest of Peter in chapter 2, he talks about the danger of false teachers. And I want you to notice what he says here, beginning in verse 1. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. Now watch this. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. Sound familiar? But God condemned them long ago. So if you think that the Bible is not relevant, just read 2 Peter chapter 2. And you find out that he's speaking today just as much as he was speaking back then. And so we need to know the truth. And I'm going to get to that in a moment. In chapter 3, he tells us that one day, all that we know will be gone. It'll be burned up. We spend a whole lot of time gathering things, don't we? We have this toy and this thing and that thing. And we think, I got to get it. And yet 2 Peter 3 tells us that someday it's all burning up. Take a look at verse 8, please. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake, because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. In other words, what that is saying is God is holding off his son coming, not because he wants to bring down havoc, but because he wants everybody, everywhere, to have a chance to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth. Wow. So Jesus is kind of on hold, so to speak, because God wants all of us and all of the outsiders, the non-believers, to come to a knowledge of the truth. God is that patient. So let's close with Peter's own words in verses 17 and 18. You already know these things, dear brothers, so be on guard that you'll not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we need to grow. The second thing, or the second essential, is we need to grow in love. We need to be growing in love. And I want to introduce this with a caveat before I get to that. There are some people who have the attitude that it's all about love. You know, their thought is that we need to talk about love more. And you know what? I'll agree with that. We need to talk about love more. But the problem with that camp is they don't want to talk about truth. On the other hand, there are those who only want to talk about truth and show very little, if any, love at all. Here's my thoughts. We need both. We need both. There needs to be a balance between love and truth. We need to stand on the truth of God's word, but we also need to be loving while we're doing it. While people want to offend no one, On the other hand, there are some who want to offend everyone, and they don't really care if they do. I'm going to tell you a little story in just a moment on that truth. But here's the important thing. We need to stand on the truth. John tells us what that truth is in verses 1 to 3. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. And you can read the rest of verse 3. Now, you want to correspond that? Read the Gospel of John, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. Earlier, we sang a song, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock upon which I stand. There is no substitute for truth. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. In other words, he is God made flesh. He is not a created being. He's not an angel. He's not the figment of someone's imagination. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them. Test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. In other words, don't believe everything you hear. And that requires discernment and wisdom. But here's the point. How can we have discernment and wisdom if we don't know what? The truth. So from the very beginning, I said that we need to study the Word. We need to study the Scriptures. That's why. Not only is it good for us to learn how to live, we also need to learn the truth so that we can defend our faith, so that we can know what is right and what is wrong. But here's the important thing. While we stand on the truth, we also need to stand on it with love. Callousness toward someone never wins anything. If you have a warrior mentality of I am right and you are wrong, you will never win an audience. And here's my story. When I served the church in Terre Haute, of course, you know that's the home of Indiana State University, and it was not uncommon to hear or read letters to the editor or hear young people talking about the evangelists who were on campus screaming at the top of their lungs as they walked by. They were calling a young woman, and excuse me for saying, they were calling a young woman whores because they wore pants. They were telling the guys they were going to hell because they had long hair. The only reaction they ever got back was hate. And the same kind of venom that they were spewing out is what they got back. No one ever approached them and said, please tell me about this loving Jesus you're preaching about. Why? Because they weren't preaching a loving Jesus. They were preaching a judgmental Jesus who screamed and yelled at people. Now, I'm not saying that we compromise the truth, that we go all soft, but you don't match venom with venom. That gets nothing done. You don't match out-of-control emotions with out-of-control emotions. That accomplishes nothing. Our desire should be not to win an argument, but to win a disciple. It does not matter if you are right or wrong, if you're screaming at somebody. You could have the truth, and you could be judgmental of that, and nobody's going to listen to you. But if you have the truth, and you have love mixed with it, people will listen. Because your purpose is not to win an argument with anybody. Your purpose is to win a disciple to Jesus. Well, let's go on to the book of 3 John for a moment. 3 John shows us the proper way to deal with troublemakers, especially in the church. If you read 3 John, you'll read about three men there. One of them is named Diotrephes. He's a narcissist, is what we would call him. He's a narcissist because he was always right. Nobody else was right. If you read that, it says he loves to be the leader, refuses to have anything to do with us, which is John. When I come, I'll have to report some of the things he's doing. Not only does he refuse to welcome the traveling teachers, he also tells others not to help them. And when they do help, he puts them out of the church. I want to know who gave him the right to do that. But you see, Diotrephes was a narcissistic leader, and he continued with the idea that I am right and I am wrong, or you are wrong. But he also reminds us, John does, to show mercy. And Jude does this as well, to show mercy to others, verses 22 and 23. You must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. So I don't really like this phrase, but you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Because it's just tossed around as willy-nilly. But we need to understand that there are times that we do need to take a stand and stand on the truth. But we also, when we stand on truth, we stand on it with love. Okay, so there's one more essential, and that is to grow in anticipation. If you were here back in 23 and 24, we spent the part of those 2 years going through the book of Revelation. And many of you were not here for that. So bear with me as I just kind of capsulize what we did. My emphasis in that sermon series was not on the signs of the times. I didn't tell you, well, this is going to happen, this is happening, this happened, so Jesus is coming tomorrow. I didn't do any of that. Because no matter what the hucksters and the jokers say, no one knows when Jesus will return. And if someone tells you they do, right off the bat, it's a red flag that says, take a hike. They're nothing but jokers and fools. Jesus himself said, I don't know what, only, the only one that knows is the Father. And I'm looking at it and said, well, if Jesus doesn't know, who in the world are they that they think they know? But here's what I can tell you. We have to stand on the promise that he promised he will return. We do not know when that is, but that's the promise. Now, let me caution you about getting caught up in the prophecy bug. And that's what I'm going to call it. It's important to believe that Jesus is returning. And it's essential to live in the light of that. But it's not wise to spend so much time on the details and so much time on the signs of the times that you lose sight of the fact that he's coming. The truth is, no one knows the details. Have you ever tried to read the book of Revelation? Yeah. If you're going through the everyday gospel, we're in it right now. And I've read it over and over, and I'm still going, okay, good. And what it tells me is that Jesus is going to return, and that I'd better be ready when he comes. Thessalonians tells me a trumpet will sound. And when that trumpet sounds, I'm going to hear it, and I better be ready. Matthew tells me that when Jesus returns, life's going to be on, going on as normal. You and I could walk out of here and Jesus could return because we're just doing what is normal. You're not going to wake up one morning, folks, and turn on your TV. You're not going to scroll on your phone. You're not going to fire up your computer and have your screen say, today's the day. Jesus is coming, so you better be ready. It's turn or burn. You're not going to see that on your screen because no one does know. Each day, I do know this, each day we live brings us closer and closer and closer to His coming. Live that way. Well, let me bring you some closing thoughts. These are from Everyday Gospel. You will read these. I had to read ahead of time twice now. And so I'm incorporating today, tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday into this. And these are thoughts from those 4 days. Number one, no story ends more gloriously than the biblical story. The message of Revelation, hear this please, is the triumph of Jesus. That's the message of Revelation, that Jesus will not be defeated. Heaven and earth are all moving to God's glorious end. The second lesson is our hope in this life and the one to come was secured in the ultimate battle that took place at the birth of Jesus. Now you're going, wait a second here, I thought that was the cross. Well, let me put it this way. There is no cross without what? A birth. If Satan could have stopped the birth, he could have stopped everything else. And here's the truth. The Old Testament that we labored through, those promises were there, all of them. We're not looking forward to the second coming. They were looking forward to the coming of Christ as a baby. And so that was the ultimate battle. That was the whole of the Old Testament. It was focused on that one event, the birth of Christ. Third, as a child of God, you will one day stand blameless before the Lord. When it's all said and done, folks, what it comes down to is whether you know Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. That's what it comes down to. It's not going to come down to how much did you give, how many times did you go to church, whether you taught or you sang or you preached or you greeted or you served. None of that's going to matter. What will matter is your soul's relationship to Jesus. That's it. And the fourth, there is a time coming when everything sin has broken will be made new. Creation, humanity, lives broken by sin but renewed by God's forgiving grace will forever be made whole. Lives separated by death, people you love, there will be a reunion, a glorious reunion in heaven. All of that at the end of time. But there's one sad part about all of this. There will be those who will miss out on eternity. At least the eternity I've described. Their eternity instead will be marked by pain and suffering and fire and eternal separation from God. There's not going to be a rock and roll heaven, sorry. There's not going to be a garden party for reminiscing. Hell will be a place of forever torment. Speaking from my heart to yours, I don't want any of you to go there. I don't want any of you to experience that loneliness, that separation, that pain, and that agony. And the way to avoid that, if you haven't already done so, is by coming to Christ as your Savior and your Lord. But I'm also going to put this caveat in here. Don't say, I got plenty of time. Because you don't. Neither one of us knows, none of us knows how much time we have left. I could walk off this stage and that could be my last breath. You could walk out this building and it could be your last breath. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to be honest with you because I don't want anybody to experience hell. I wish I could say Satan would be down there by himself and he'd be the loneliest individual alive. But unfortunately, he won't be. But I don't want any of you to be there. And whether you're here or watching online, that picture says it all. Jesus says, come. Come to me. And I'll give you eternity like you've never had it before. If you've never come to know Christ, I want to talk with you. I would love to sit down and show you how to come to Jesus and get your life in his hands and to be a follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, would you convict us where we need convicted? Would you teach us where we need taught? Would you help us to stand where we need to stand? Would you draw us close to you? Help us to remember that all that matters in the long run is not what we have accomplished, not what we have done, not our job, not even our family. The most important thing is, what have we done with you? And so I pray, if there is somebody here or somebody watching or somebody whom we know has never come to know Jesus, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. And if we are here, that we will not put it off. If we know someone who's without Christ, that you will put it on our hearts to share your love with and grace with them. And if they say no, we will know that we have approached them with the message of love, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Go with us this week. Go with us as we finish out this year, as we look back. But help us to remember that we can't replay what has happened in the past. All we can do is move forward. And so help us to look forward to the new year. Help us to be drenched in your word, to be swallowed up by your spirit, and simply to follow you with everything we have. Thank you for these folks. And help us, Lord, to serve you and to be disciples, to know the truth and to temper it with love. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do our closing scripture for the last time, please. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Lord Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Thank you for being with us today. Have a great week, and enjoy the rest of your time off if you have that.